why you and I and markets need to pay attention to how Italians vote this weekend. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. But first, the price of oil this morning up to nearly $51 a barrel, up 12% since the start of the week, a rise engineered by a production cut from the producers' cartel OPEC. Experts tell us that U.S. domestic production, fracking mostly, could fill that gap back up, meaning higher retail heating oil and gasoline prices, if they come, may not stick. On that subject of obtaining fossil fuel through fracking, we've been doing some digging, and we have a report today that the Obama EPA may have made fracking seem safer than the science suggests. If you missed that report on the air, consult marketplace.org. There are markets, and there is the real economy, where we live and work. There's word today that more people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week. The tally, 268,000, was more than expected, a downbeat sign. With the November jobs report due tomorrow morning, let's check in with Diane Swank at DS Economics in Chicago. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So we have the big federal jobs report. We'll know what it is by this time tomorrow.
Exactly, and we're looking for a fairly good report, 185,000. Some of the big movers will be manufacturing moving into the plus after being a drag on growth. We've seen some positive movement there. And the mining sector, which is, of course, benefiting from what's going on in oil, has already begun to come back. It's bottomed out, so it's no longer a drag on overall employment. So the employment situation will look pretty good with wages up. We think they're going to hold at that 2.8% rate we saw last month, which is an acceleration and certainly enough for the Fed to pull the trigger on interest rates.
All right, but what are you going to be focusing on in case those broad brushes don't paint the detailed picture?
Well, the real wild card is retail. Retailers are clearly struggling with the shift from bricks to clicks this Thanksgiving holiday. We actually saw more people shop online for the first time ever than go into stores. And retail staffing of stores is, this is the month when we see the largest gains in that sector, and if that doesn't show up, that could be the real wild card for the U.S. economy.
But the Fed's going to raise interest rates in a couple weeks, for sure.
The Fed is nearly 99.9% sure the Fed is going to raise interest rates. What could stop them? Well, there is that little Italian referendum, and we've seen things abroad can come back and wash up on our shores in very odd ways.
The Italian referendum this weekend, we will have more on that in just a second. Diane Swank, DS Economics in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
First Brexit, then Donald Trump's victory. Where will the next political economic bombshell fall? It could be in Italy this weekend. As we just said, on Sunday, Italians vote in a referendum on constitutional reform. This result might cause ructions in financial markets. Joining us from Rome is Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Buongiorno, mio fratello.
Buongiorno, David.
So why is this vote? It seems a little bit abstruse here, a vote on constitutional reform. Why could markets turn on this?
Well, it's a referendum on measures to streamline the Italian political system and make it easier for the Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, to push through the economic reforms that he needs to get in place to cut unemployment and boost growth. But he's made it an issue of his personal political survival. So if he loses, it could trigger a general election, and that could bring some anti-euro parties to power. Manlio Di Stefano is a member of parliament for one of those parties, the Five Star Movement, which is campaigning against the constitutional reforms. And Stefano thinks his party's got a good chance of winning on the back of the wave of discontent sweeping through the Western world.
If there is some connection between everything that is going on in the world, from Trump to Brexit to the Italian referendum, is that nobody has listened to the people's voice up to now, and we need to listen to people.
And the Italian people are clearly very unhappy at the moment about unemployment at 11%, youth unemployment of 37%.
All right, let's say the outcome produces the government to fall. Italy is a country with experience with political volatility. I think there was like 65 governments since the Second World War. Why should the collapse of another one royal financial markets?
Well, first of all, it'll be seen as a setback for the economic reform program, and because it could usher into power some parties that really don't like the euro, like the Five Star Movement. Here's Jane Foley of Rabobank.
Three opposition parties in Italy would call a referendum, if they were to get in power, on membership of the euro. So the Italy referendum is a real biggie in terms of what could bring political chaos to Europe.
Chaos, because Italy accounts for some 20% of the GDP of the eurozone. It's not a bit player like Greece.
All right, that's kind of a doomsday scenario there. There must be more benign possible outcomes coming from this referendum this weekend.
Yes, the government could win and it could press ahead with its reforms. Even if it loses, there could be months of horse trading and stagnation, situation normal, in other words. But if it loses, the worry is that this will, after Brexit, after the Trump victory, boost populist anti-euro parties elsewhere in Europe, like, for example, the National Front, which will be contesting for the French presidency next year. The euro would be fatally damaged by the departure of Italy. It would immediately collapse without France.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from Rome there. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Back before office computers were networked together, there was what we affectionately called SneakerNet. You put the data from one computer onto a floppy disk and run with your sneakers over to the second computer. Well, it turns out that when Amazon, which is also a remote data storage company, wants to move a huge amount of data into the cloud, they can schlep it in a truck, like a diesel tractor trailer truck. The truck carries a device called the Snowball, which Amazon showed off this week in Vegas. They use the rig to suck in your data and truck it over to the data center like a load of avocados. This is for exabytes of data, which is a lot. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.